Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 15. We have made it 15 episodes. This is take two of the intro because I just messed it up. But anyway, we were about to hear what Paul's been up to in the first take of this recording, and that's what we'll go back to. Paul, what have you been up to?
So, like I said, they didn't hear me the first time. Me and Fred today just finished up pretty much all of a structural job that we're doing. It was that house that I mentioned last week that's made completely out of concrete, well, and steel, obviously, but there's not really much wood in it. And they're in those foam, whatchamacallit, what are they called? Forms.
The GSPI stuff?
Yeah, all the foam concrete forms. And so it's pretty simple. It's like one big girder going across and then a bunch of little beams that are attached onto that girder with some, you know, some clips and stuff. And then one column. And then all of them are sitting in beam pockets with bearing plates that just – the beams just get welded to the bearing plates that are up in these – preformed beam pockets way up high. It's a pretty interesting house. What's that?
I lived in a house like that for like 3 to 4 years.
Oh, really? It was all concrete?
Yeah, it was called the fucking prison. Christ.
I was going to say.
I was like, what?
Was it a federal ran house or a state ran house?
What's it look like? Is it warm and cozy? I mean, what
well,
kind of house
it's like
it?
It's just concrete walls now. There's nothing.
It's for like the little twin, you know, there's like it's for the kind of deformed child of the family.
Is it like what's that? Not Adobe. What's that shit?
It's Adobe.
Is that what that is?
I don't think you're going to be able to tell that this house is made out of concrete. I think they're going to put siding on it, and there's windows and there's doors.
Yeah.
The top portion in like the roof joists and stuff, those are all wood, I think. But the most of the walls, it's basically like the think of the foundation just going all the way up the side of the house.
Yeah,
like that's pretty much what it is, and there's all windows formed into it. But it's interesting because it's like you really got to have this house planned out, every square inch, every wire, every electrical box, because it's like where do you put everything?
Yeah,
like and then if you want to run wires, it's like. I don't know how they do it. Do they put like furring strips over that foam and then put the sheetrock over the furring strips? Like, and there's a little tiny gap maybe, and that's where you could snake the wires and stuff. I don't know. It's interesting because in theory, it's like, wow, that's a pretty smart idea. It might be better. But after you think about it, it's like, God, is it just going to be like super expensive? I don't know.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
You probably don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah, no, maybe if you want like a bunker as your house, you know? Concrete walls and bulletproof windows.
Yeah.
But,
nice.
Yeah, and then still more railings as usual.
More railings. You got to get one of those cool like picket dies from, you ever seen
those?
They press and cut the picket.
Those are cool. That put the point on it. Yeah, they make so much cool stuff.
Almost as good as you could get from King Architectural Metals, right?
Yes, King, top quality architectural metals.
Derek, what have you been up to? If everyone hasn't seen, Derek from Alden has a new YouTube video.
Yep, just released it.
Oh, it's I need to
so
watch
funny.
It. I saw it come up.
I said to myself, I am not going to screw up releasing this one like I did last time. Last time, I thought I made it public and I just kept it private. I never hit save. So I'm doing the thing and my wife's like, you going to bed or what? So we were both off today. So we're up late and I look at the calendar. It says, yep, tomorrow's the 13th. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Perfect. All set. Not realizing it's 1 a.m. and it's already tomorrow. So now it put it for another day out. So at like 8:30, I says, let me see if anybody's watched it. It had two views, and I know I watched it, and I know Jimmy watched it. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I checked it, and it was still private. So I switched it over. I'm like, one of these times I'm going to get it. So, but but yeah, it was just, you know, it was funny. I finally got rid of that thing. The guy came, picked it up. You know, he's pot in there. I probably should have told him he was in it, but whatever. He's in it. And, you know, it was just nice to get it out of my shop because it was just, you know, I was afraid I was just going to damage the thing every day. I was down here and just it was covered up and whatever, but that's gone. So I finished that, and I've been working on a project with this woman that Paul had hooked me up with, and real nice woman. I really don't want to say what I'm working on. It's not like it's very top secret, but I just don't know. I don't have her permission, so I don't want to mention it, but it's using the CNC, and it's pretty cool. It's something where I went up to Jimmy's this past weekend because I was supposed to get an Illustrator lesson because I really need to learn how to use it proficiently. And this project proved that. And I went up there and I really didn't have much time to do it. He was getting ready to leave, but I got through it and I wrote the files and started cutting them today. And it came out pretty good what I have cut so far. It's a perfect? No, but I think it's going to work for what she needs, and I'll probably meet her next weekend and make sure, but it's just it's a cool little project. I just want to get her permission before I talk about it. It's nothing earth-shattering, but it is her project, and these are the type of projects I want to get. You know, this is the type of stuff where I'm kind of making something, but it's not something I really need to make, and I can make a little bit of money just like cutting some stuff for a customer. She's not going to get, you know, 30 of these at a time, but she'll probably get two or three of these cut at a time. It'll just be something good, you know, a nice little job for over the winter maybe. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I also have something else, which is top secret. I had a sign a, what do they call that, non-disclosure agreement. I had to sign one of those to get the information. So that I'm really excited about. I was supposed to talk to the guy tonight, but we're going to talk tomorrow, him and his father. So that I'm really looking forward to working on. But
making big business moves.
Big moves. Mover and a shaker, you know?
That's right. Maker and a shaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been wrapped up with this kind of a five-day build project that I couldn't, that I can't really talk about. But otherwise, there's been kind of a lot of background stuff going on for me. I quoted a bunch of jobs and just trying to, you know, get my life together for the end of the year.
What an interesting podcast. We're all talking about stuff we can't talk about.
Yeah.
They must be just like sitting there saying, this is riveting. You know?
They already left.
Yeah. Let's listen to everything they can't talk about.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Chris, what about that fence you were working on?
So that's what I was going to bring up.
I read your mind.
It's been, that one's been like, I have nightmares about that job.
Why?
Because
is it complicated?
No, it's not that it's complicated. It's that the client, like he wants it done. Like if I could have done the whole thing the day we dug the holes for the posts, we would have done it. Like he wants it done. And, you know, every part about it is like non-traditional. So like we did aluminum 4x4 posts, which came out really nice. He had them painted. I used, Paul, I don't know if you've ever used this, but Rust-Oleum makes like a special primer for aluminum.
Oh, really? I've never used it.
Yeah, it's like made, it's supposed to etch. I guess it etches itself into the aluminum so it doesn't flake. So, and it's latex based, which is nice because you can put any latex paint over it. So gotcha. He had the posts primed and painted, and he used like this brown color that looks like wood. If you drove by his house, you'd think that they were wood mahogany 4x4s, which is really,
really
cool. And then, but like the complexity of the gates has me like a little stressed out because the driveway is on such a slope that I have to build the gates in a way that they're not going to hit the driveway, but also not be like 3 feet off the ground, you know, because
they
compensate for the hill. And the best way to do it would be to put two hinges on the gate. So essentially the gate would fold twice.
That's what I was going to say. I've seen that on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it's not that complicated, right? It's essentially like putting a post on the edge of the gate and a post in the middle of the gate and another hinge. And you could really just buy two gate openers and install them. And without any fancy programming, both of them are going to open at the same time. And the gate's going to click into like an L shape. And I know that's what he wants to do. And it's not that it's not possible. It's just that the time, like there is no like, all right, well, you know, I know it's a lot to figure out. So figure it out and we'll get it done. It's like, go, 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 go. So I finished up this big 5-day project. And I can say what it was. I can't say exactly what it was, but I was shooting for an episode of a TV show for 5 days.
What?
So I couldn't do anything else in my
life. Get out of here.
Get out of here. And I can say that it wasn't Forged in Fire, because everybody on my Instagram, when I posted about how I was shooting for something for 5 days, everyone thought I was a finalist on Forged in Fire. It's definitely not. you got to talk to Paul about that. But my client, is, like, he knew that I was busy up until Sunday. And now that I'm not, I'm just wondering when my phone's going to ring. And he'd be like, why aren't
where
you
are
here?
You?
Yeah. So I ordered all the steel today. I'm going to order the gate openers probably tomorrow, and I'm just going to start building it. We're using mahogany, which has been kind of difficult to source, and hopefully that comes in and we can just start going. I think it'll be a cool video if I can figure out this gate thing and, you know, I'm building the wall.
I think I asked you already, but why not cedar?
For the posts?
No. Yeah. Like no, instead of mahogany, why mahogany? This doesn't cedar last longer.
Cedar would last longer, but mahogany silvers. So like it gets that kind of like purple brown look. And he's got a pergola. It's the same place where I built the heart gate. And if I don't know if you can see it in your head, but there's a pergola around it with these slats. That's mahogany. So it'll
match it to that.
Yeah. And the fence is all going to be a horizontal slat fence. So, you know, the mahogany work is the easiest part, because all we're going to do is we're going to use stainless steel self-tapping screws to screw the mahogany to the aluminum posts on the face. And then it's just like a brad nailer, just like bang through the whole thing. That part will be like a breeze. It's building these gates out of steel. They're 15 foot wide, so that I had to worry about sag. I got to probably pre-camber them. I think I got to pre-camber them up like maybe 1 or 2 degrees, you know, so that as they sag, they look level.
Yeah.
But I've never done any of that stuff before. I'm just going to figure it out on the fly.
I can tell you that aluminum spray paint you're talking about, that's like the big thing everybody using now on signs. On MDF.
We rolled it on. We didn't spray it.
Yeah, it comes in spray cans too. Mm-hmm. And it supposedly dries real quick, dries real flat. And that's what people have been using. I actually just bought like 5 cans of it, but I haven't used it. Yeah. Yep, aluminum primer.
That's cool. It's the one that says on the can, like, for aluminum.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I think it's for aluminum and something else.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So
yeah, I'm always leery of something like that like is sold at a big box store. Cause like, not that I don't trust the product that Rust-Oleum could make, but I just feel like something so specialized, you'd want like a very specialized product. But when I went on, I read some reviews about it and it seemed pretty good, and it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. I think it was $18 a quart or something.
Yeah.
You know, which is a lot. But you know, we'll see. These posts are going to be a good litmus test for it, because they're going to probably get some salt from the road. You know, they're going to get, they're going to get wet. They're going to be in the sun. So
isn't the place on the water too?
It's like up on a kind of cliffside, so it won't get too, like, it won't really get sea spray, but it's definitely, you know, if the paint lasts for 2 years without needing to be repainted, I'll be impressed. Mm. You know, exterior paint doesn't last, but.
Speaking of expensive, I bought Baltic birch plywood today. Do you know what I paid for a sheet of Baltic birch?
$80.
Yeah, I wish I paid $80. $120.
Oh my God,
that's crazy, man.
Yeah, I gotta call them and find out that I don't know why it was so much money, but yeah, $120 a sheet.
Wow.
Yeah,
you gotta pay the locals price. You paid the like you rolled up in a Bentley price.
Yeah, I know. The best part, the lady says, I can send you some money, And I said, no, I got it. Don't worry. I needed four sheets of it. I'm like, you're going to be shit. I dropped $500 on plywood. I'm like, okay.
I priced out a job today. I've got a client. They have an indoor pool. They have it's a 10 by 38 indoor pool. And they want a platform that can go over the top of it so they can like have parties and use it as a, you know, use it as a place to put a dining table.
You're going to do all stainless?
No. So originally they were like, oh, we'll do it like, you know, we want it out of steel. And I was like, okay, like we'll do it out of steel, blah, blah, blah. And then they talked to their architect and their architect was like, you know, oh, well, you know, it's only 10 feet. So they're like, it doesn't have to be steel. It could be wood. And I said, well, you know, I don't really care what it is. I said, just have the architect draw something up and I'll build it. Like if the architect says I can use, you know, 1x1 box tube and he'll stamp it, I'll make it, you know, I don't care. And it kind of like got turned around a couple times and then it became just like, hey, just build us something out of wood. We don't want to worry about the weight of moving steel. And I spoke to my architect and he actually recommended, and this I thought was interesting. I called him and I said, you know, I have a 10-foot span that needs to support like normal floor load, you know, assume it's in a house. And he said, if I use 2x6s, which I thought was pretty small, but 12 inches on center, that I could support the load with 3/4 inch plywood. So, but the point of it is that I told the lady today, she's like, oh, how much do you think this is going to cost? Like, she's like, do you think it's $2,000? Do you think it's $5,000? And I said, honestly, lumber prices are double what I have in my head. So I can't even give you a price until I go out and actually figure out how much a 12-foot 2x6 is, because I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
And you're almost $20 a board now.
Wow.
For a 12-foot 2x6. A 12-foot 2x6.
Wow.
This thing, this is like a thing they're always going to use, or is this for like an event they're having?
It's for an event. So what they want is it's
going to be, so it's like disposable kind of?
It's semi-disposable. It's going to be 4-foot by 12-foot deck sections.
Okay.
And they're going to be framed with 2x6s, and they're going to all – I'm going to use like a – if you've ever seen like a sectional sofa, there are clips that clip the sections together. It's like a male and a female, and they kind of
put
together like two hands clasping.
Uh-huh.
I'm either going to buy those if I can get them heavy duty enough, or I'm going to build my own out of 1/8-inch stock. And they're all the sections are going to go – they're going to be laid across the pool one at a time, and they're all going to clip together. And then they'll have to hire movers when they need to move them because they'll be pretty heavy. But they told me that they called a couple of staging companies, and my platform is going to be 7 inches off the ground. It'll be a 2x6 plus 3/4 inch plywood plus maybe like some padding.
You step up onto it.
The staging company, first of all, they wanted $10,000 per event to bring it and deliver it, and their stage is 16 inches tall.
Wow.
So that's a 16-inch platform that's only 12 inches wide. So she was like, what happens if someone at this party just like takes a step back? Like, you can't recover from a 16-inch step. Like,
if they don't have steps to go around it, that was another thing.
Yeah,
add another 16 inches, you need like at least two steps.
Right?
So I want to be able to jump up onto it.
So she's like, all I can imagine is somebody like takes a bad step, or they pull their chair and their leg of their chair goes off, and they just go like noggin down onto the bluestone. So my platform will probably be closer to like the $5,000 to $6,000 range, and then they'll probably wind up paying a mover. I don't know. It's got to cost $1,000 to have it, the whole thing, you know, taken out of storage, moved, installed, you know. So they'll
is this pressure treated over the water like that?
Indoor pool, and they have a really nice automatic cover over it. So
they put the cover over, and then you put your thing up. Exactly. Oh, okay.
So if you walked into this room, you wouldn't even know there was a pool underneath in the room. If there was a deck on it, you wouldn't even know there was a pool in there.
That's pretty cool.
It's such a beautiful building. It's going to be sick. Yeah. It's going to be cool. But it's just, you know, the thought of building something out of wood being so expensive now is just
cheaper to do it out of steel.
Well, that's what, like, we're saying the last one when they had, like, the potential for the riots in Boston. They wrapped that whole block with the plywood. I'm like, where the hell did they put all that? Somebody bought
it. You can buy sheet metal. You'd be better off buying like 14 gauge sheet metal. It'd be cheaper. Yeah, like I was telling Chris, me and Chris were discussing steel prices one time.
Yeah.
And he was telling me just how expensive it is in Long Island and how much cheaper it is near me. I'm just going to end up buying, you know, putting stuff he needs on one of my orders and just, you know, he could come pick it up because it's so much cheaper.
It's crazy. And it's not like cheaper by like, oh, Paul pays $20 less a sheet. Paul pays 40%. It's like,
He's paying a dollar per pound. I'm paying like 40 cents a pound.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I pay at least a dollar a pound.
You pay a dollar per pound for something cheap like square bar maybe or flat bar. Instead of like when you get into like tube or stuff like that, it's more expensive probably, right? What are you paying for like tube? Like $1.20 a pound? I don't even know.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I just bought like the steel order today, but I haven't gotten priced yet.
It's cheap. But then if you get something like tube or like probably sheet metal or anything like that, it's expensive. Like I-beams are a lot cheaper than tube. Not a lot, but they are cheaper.
Well, yeah, they're so much less. I mean, I don't know.
It's just because you don't have to weld. You don't have to fold the tube over and weld the tube back together. It just comes out of the mill like in that shape.
Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's every time I place a steel order, I always add a couple extra things just to have them in stock in the shop. But you know, it's we always say like, you know, use consumables like they're free. That's kind of how I use the steel in my shop. And more, you know, every time the steel guy comes, it's $450, $650, $800. And I'm like,
you're paying a lot.
Yeah. At the time I justify it because I only really ever get a steel delivery when I have a job. So I pay for all my material kind of with the job, even if some of it's for me and some of it's for the job. But you know, whenever, every time I use a stick of 1x1, I think a stick of 1x1 cost me like, I don't know, $40.
Oh my God.
So like every stick of 1x1, if I make like a little table, you know,
talking about a 20-foot long length.
Yeah.
24. Oh, okay.
So like if I make a little, you know, you make like a stand for something out of 1x1 and you know, it's 3 feet tall, right? So you use 12 feet on the legs and then you use another 6 feet for the frame. Like it's a $60 table. You could probably go out and buy, you could go buy a table for $60 plus your time.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what happened with that coffee table I made. I mean, the top of it was a freaking crate I got out of the trash. I bought the steel. It was like $100. I think it was $110 for the metal. It's like, and my time to get it and everything. So he's like, I'll give you a $125 for it. It's like, you know what? Screw.
I had an argument with a guy at a street fair once who wanted to buy, had a cutting board. I think I was asking $60. And he came over, this guy, I wanted to punch him in the face. I think if I ever see him again, I would like to punch him in the face.
You're gonna attack him?
He comes over and he grabs the cutting board and he like holds it in his arms. He's like, this thing is gorgeous. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, he's like, I have to have it. How much is it? I'm like, it's probably $65. He's like, $65? He's like, that's really expensive. I'm like, well, you just told me how beautiful it was. You're like fondling the thing. Pay me my money. He's like, this can't be. Well, $65. I said, dude, the wood on this cutting board is probably worth $65.
He's like, get lost.
He's like, oh, now you're just being ridiculous. Now you're just being ridiculous. And I'm like, and at this point, I'm no longer looking at him and talking to him. I'm looking at someone else at the street fair and just letting him talk. And he's like pushing $20 at me, holding the cutting board in his hand. And I'm reaching for the cutting board and going, you're not, there's, I'm not giving you this cutting
board. I'll throw it away first.
I'm like a male Karen.
I will burn this cutting board in the fire before I take your $20 and have you tell me that the wood isn't worth the money and my time, you know, planing, joining, gluing, sanding, rounding over. Get out of here.
That's actually a pretty good price. Like wood cutting boards are expensive. That's pretty good price.
I know, really good ones. We were just up in up by like the seaside community, and they were a fortune. I mean, the gift shops. It's like, man, but it just I hate that shit. I'd rather not sell a thing and keep everything than get screwed like that again.
Bed Bath and Beyond to get someone made in Taiwan.
TJ Maxx, you get one from those acai ones that are like have really great
like pine or something, like bamboo with flu that probably gave me cancer.
I was up in Vermont, right? Like, what was it, 2 weeks ago now or a week and a half ago? And they were selling these really nice, like, well-sanded but solid single plank cutting boards.
Oh, yeah, you need an end grain cutting board,
$65.
Right?
No, these were like just a plank of walnut, not glued.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know, but the one like a legit cutting board is an end grain cutting board, right? Because your knife, like the blade of your knife will go into the grain and it doesn't look like it gets chopped up.
Yeah, people make the long ones, though. They do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends. The
like a cheese platter type of thing.
The end grain cutting boards are good, but the thing you have to look out for those is that they trap a lot of bacteria.
That's gross.
Than a straight grain cutting board.
Mm. Yeah. So we do plastic in my house.
Yeah.
We do straight plastic. We
throw them out.
We send it to that dishwasher. 1,000 degrees.
You get the oxyacetylene torch to make sure.
Yeah, very strict procedure.
I'm surprised you guys aren't just using surgical steel for everything.
Dude, you want me to tell you something?
I can't wait.
How many toothbrushes do you guys have?
How many?
Yeah.
Like for everybody in the house? Or
no, myself? Individual.
Oh, I used to have two, but...
I have one that I travel with and one that is in the house.
That's you count the travel on three.
We have a very strict toothbrush procedure at our house. Our toothbrushes, I probably have 10. Get sent through the dishwasher.
Why?
Every use.
Why?
Dude, every use. Dude, it's my mother. She sends them to the dishwasher every use, and all my toothbrushes are all bent and twisted from the heat of the dishwasher.
What kind of detergent are you using? You're probably poisoning.
I'm probably going to die soon.
Well, you know what's funny is Oz. Everybody has the electric toothbrushes in my house.
I always wanted one. I just hit my hand.
I had two because like we had two bathrooms, so one in one and one in the other. But I just have one now. But you can always tell my toothbrush because all my kids and my wife, she got covers for them because everybody's afraid when you flush the toilet, the mist in the air. But fuck it, they don't get me one.
Yeah.
They don't get me one, so they don't give a shit about me. Exactly. So,
you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry is like, throughout the whole show, he's OCD about cleanliness and germs. Then he's dating that woman and he drops her toothbrush in the toilet and doesn't tell her. And then she uses it and then he has to break up with her because he refuses to kiss her again after he knows that she brushed her teeth with a toothbrush, but it was his fault. And she's like, she's gorgeous and he's like, so great, but he can't go near her mouth because her mouth touched the toothbrush that touched the toilet.
My toothbrush, I have all black Sharpie markers scribbled on it. Because one day I grabbed my toothbrush because I put it in spot number one all the time and I pick it up and I'm ready to stick it in my mouth and it's wet. And I go, I haven't used it since this morning. It was my daughter's. My wife's like, I cleaned them. I just put them wherever. I was like, I just almost stuck her toothbrush. I like legit had toothpaste on it and everything. I was like, that's never happening. So I took black.
That's why you got to run it through the dishwasher.
Oh, God. That's disgusting, dude. It must just smell gross.
What?
The toothbrush from the.
Mine?
Does she put soap in the dishwasher or is it just
no, like, it doesn't smell like anything. It's like the same thing as like a fork or a knife or a dish.
Yeah, but that's
it, I got it.
The dishwasher just smells like that.
What dishwasher do you use?
The soap smell, the alkaline soap. That's like strong soap.
I don't know what kind of soap she uses. She probably uses some other type of soap.
Something.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. All I can tell you is there's not one bit of bacteria on the toothbrushes. They get sanitized.
It's probably bad for you.
Also, my first impression is like, that's insane. Like putting every time the toothbrush through the dishwasher. But it's also like, would you like use a fork? And then never wash the fork, only like run it under some water.
I got to be completely honest.
That's how I wash my silverware.
Chris, me and you have talked about shitting and Paul, you know me with the shitting.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude,
I got only in my home.
Only in his home.
Yeah.
I'd rather get sick. He's still young, dude.
Chris, remember in Chicago? I thought I was going to die.
Oh, my God. It's, you know what? 2020 was a good year for you, Paul.
Yeah, I got to only shit in my house.
you literally could not travel. What do you do now? You got no bathroom at the shop.
Dude.
Go home.
I've made a couple trips home.
Crazy.
I'm not going to go in
he's
like.
He's still young, though. I mean.
Dude, I don't want. I have very strict. I have my own thing. Dude, I got to have a nice wet wipe.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to just go dry.
You're going to have them in a warm-up.
Dude, I have a procedure. You got to – this is how you got to do. You got to do the heavy stock removal. I take it – I start off at about a 36 grit with the toilet paper, right? I got to do heavy stock removal. Then I'll come in with the Scotch-Brite pad.
No, you don't go right.
Wet wipe.
You don't go right
the wet wipe is like the Scotch-Brite. I come in with the Scotch-Brite. I put a nice polish on it. And then I'll hit the shower and bring it up to a mirror finish in the shower, you know, and then I'm clean. I don't do Chris, you know, in Grand Central Station bathroom, you know, with just toilet paper with a dirty ass all day long.
One of my old roommates, right, would be going out, he'd be taking a shower. Be like, Curly, didn't you just take a shower? He goes, yeah, I had to take a dump. It's like, dude, you just showered an hour ago. He's like, yeah.
Now he's got a dirty ass.
Yeah, he had to go shower, but that. Let's get Bobby Duke on for that story. He can get him and Jocko on.
Bobby Duke with the bidets when you're talking about Jocko.
Jocko, you'd only shit at your own house.
I'm so with Jocko. Like,
oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, hold on. We have to take a step back. So we're in Atlanta at Workbench.
Oh yeah, this is one of the. I almost choked and died laughing. This is one of the funniest dinners.
So we're in Atlanta at Workbench Con, and it's. Jimmy, Derek, Jocko, Bobby Duke. I think that was it, right? And then me. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Jimmy, Derek, Bobby Duke, Jocko, Paul, his father, and me. And we're all at dinner. And all somehow the topic
totally, Jocko starts. No, totally normal conversation. And Bobby Duke says, I got to ask a question. Explain to me how a bidet works to John.
Because there's one in his hotel room, right?
I don't know. I forget how it came up. But
there must have been one at that restaurant.
Oh, I think so.
I don't know. Maybe. I think just because he's Italian.
Yeah, maybe because
he's European.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The best is when he says, what happens when you go over your friend's house and you take a dump, Jocko? You only poop at your own house.
he's like, we don't shit in other people's houses. Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, what about the towels? Oh my God. This conversation went downhill fast.
Well, I think the idea of Paul referring to his toilet paper usage as his stock removal is the funniest thing.
Yeah, but dude, you don't want to ship a knife out. You know, at 36 grit.
No.
You got to polish that. You got to hand sand that.
I have zero relation to this because when I worked in Vermont, the first day on the job, I literally looked to my boss and I go, is there a Port-a-John or something? He's like,
see, this is where you guys got me wrong.
Toilet paper? I'm like, what?
Because listen to this for a second. This is where you got me wrong. I'd rather shit in a hole in the ground than shit in a porta potty.
I ask you is like, if
I would rather just put a shit in a plastic bag than a dirty, disgusting bathroom.
Easy.
I swear to God, how many people's asses have been on a toilet seat pissing on
it? It's funny. I'm not gonna say where I was, but I was away for like a month with work. This was like 15 years ago during a hurricane, and it was just a nasty, nasty neighborhood, and the whole place was just decimated from a hurricane. And there was like one gas station. The guy's like, "Oh, I gotta go there to go to the bathroom. Do you want to come?" I was like, "I'm just gonna go in the woods, dude."
Yeah, says, yeah.
That bathroom's nasty, you know.
I'd rather do that.
Oh, that's funny. That's
that. When I worked in residential construction, you know, like when you're building a $10 million house, like you don't use the toilet.
No, you can't do that.
Not allowed. So my boss,
dude, my mother would strangle someone.
So listen to this story. So my boss was like a very seasoned home builder. And this guy had built mansions like for his whole career. And he dealt with like the top of the top tier clientele. And he'd say like, listen, the bathrooms are done, but they're not on. Like nobody used the toilet.
I know where this is going. I love the story already.
So they finished this building. This is before I worked for him. So they finished this building. And everything is done, and the homeowner is in the house like you know, putting their linens in their linen closet or whatever. And there's a painter there doing touch up. So he, you know, goes in, like, the house is done, whatever. So he's painting. He has to take a dump. He goes in the bathroom. He's in there for quite some time. He comes out.
Just
the client like looks at him. They make eye contact. She calls my boss and goes, I need you to come here right away. We have a serious problem. I need a new toilet. Made my boss replace the toilet completely. Uh-huh. Take the toilet out, put it in the dumpster, and put in a brand new toilet.
Because how much did she spend on the house?
Probably like $7 million. $7 to $8 million.
Put in all new toilets.
So listen to this. What I used to say to my boss, and this is something that I don't know why, like, I don't know why he ever argued with me with this. And I think that if I was ever building a house for a client on my own, this is what I would do. So when you have porta-johns, right, porta-johns cost money every month and mm-hmm. they're gross. Inevitably, guys are going to use the bathrooms in the house, mm-hmm. which means like the toilet seat's going to get scratched up. The handle's going to get messed up. You can buy a toilet from Home Depot for $90. So what I said to my boss at the last job that we did together, I said, Peter, why don't we just put – one $90 toilet in the bathroom in the basement, and at the end of the job, we'll just throw it away. Because otherwise, you're going to have guys using a $900 Toto self-flushing toilet when you got your back turned. One way or another, guys are going to, yeah. you know, nobody wants to be in a porta-john when it's 9 degrees outside or when it's 110 degrees outside. And he always pushed back on me on that. I never understood that. Well, like, for $100, you can just be done with it.
Well, it's funny you said that. So we're working up in Beacon Hill one day, and I've never used a customer's bathroom. I wouldn't. I just out of respect and just out of – I couldn't
I
do
agree.
It. I
You're
couldn't
a respectful
it.
Guy. I agree
I
with
just,
that.
I just – I couldn't
I
do
got
it.
A story after
so,
this one.
So with the kid, and the offices in Boston are tough to get to. So with this kid, and he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. So he's racing, and he knows once he gets to his truck, it's going to be a little bit of work to get to the office. So he's like double screwed. So he's just about to his truck, and there's this porta potty right there and a couple construction workers. And he says to the guy, he goes, I got to use your porta potty. Can I use your porta potty? The guy goes, dude, that thing's so fucking nasty. If you're asking to use a porta potty, you got to use the porta potty. It's so true. It's so nasty, those things. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why I'm smart and I don't use them.
Yeah, just – oh,
I got one last one for you, all right? If everyone's not –
nobody has to throw up.
Yeah. Okay, no, this isn't that bad. Yeah,
the poor people, they're probably trying to eat dinner.
Yeah, people got notepads out. I'm going to learn a new tip for woodworking.
Yeah,
here's a tip. Always carry something. Always carry a shovel and a roll of toilet paper. No, so when I worked in Manhattan, right, we used to work in these buildings, and we used to have to go up through the service entrance. And this one building I used to work on, the service entrance wasn't an actual elevator to a lobby; it was the elevator. So you couldn't go to the apartment unless the elevator driver drove you from the basement into the apartment. The elevator opened right into the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
So I'm there and I'm the project manager, so I have no tools on me. All I'm doing is I'm just checking the work of the carpenter. I'm walking through the apartment. Everything is done. The whole apartment is complete and I'm literally doing my final check off. And I had a good relationship with the client, and they knew that, like, I would go there and I would spend maybe an hour there doing computer work at their, like, kitchen island. They had a camera in the kitchen. They knew I was there. Everything was good. So the end of the day, I'm like, I just got to go use the bathroom. So I go, I use the bathroom, clog the toilet. So now, toilet's clogged. Now, this is a brand new apartment. So there's nothing in it. There's no cleaning supplies. There's no plunger. There's nothing. I got nothing. I'm in a bathroom that is about, if a toilet's 15 inches wide, this bathroom is 30 inches wide. Like, it is tiny. It's like a closet.
God,
so
and you're on camera.
No, not on camera.
No, in the kitchen. You can't.
In the kitchen.
Yeah. You see Chris racing back and forth.
So
you could leave and just deny. But go ahead.
No. And I can't even leave and go buy a plunger and come back, because then the doorman's going to be like, what are you doing back here? And these guys, all they do is get paid out. Huh?
With a weapon.
Yeah, well, all they do is get paid out by the client. So all they want to do is have that, like, little insider information to tell the client, like, something that they might want to make. It's going to cost me $100 in like silent time from the elevator guy all day long. So I'm like, I'm panicking. I'm like, and I'm sweating like a pig because the bathroom is like 100 degrees. It's like the size of my laptop. It's so small. I'm like, what am I going to do? So now I'm on Google and I'm looking up how to clear a clog without
dish soap, right?
Dude, so I'm putting
laundry detergent, dish soap.
Water in a 5-gallon bucket, hot water, the hottest.
Yeah, hot water, they say.
Hot water on the toilet, and there's water coming almost over the top, and I'm dying. I'm like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Now I got a coat hanger.
MacGyver, yeah.
So finally. I'm dead. I got to do something. So I get myself all calmed down. You know, I clean myself up and I ring the elevator call button and a guy comes up. I go, was anybody up here working?
Wow. Academy Award winning actor.
Who was in this bathroom?
I'm like, this is brand new. This is disgusting. I'm like, and he's like, oh my God, do you think we have to call a plumber? I'm like, listen, do you guys have a plunger downstairs? I'll see if I can get it to clear. And we'll just, you know, I don't think it was one of my guys. Maybe it was the guy that put the shades in.
What'd you say?
So I said, maybe it was the guy that put the shades in because that was the client hired them directly. Fantastic. So long story short, we clear the clog. We clean up the bathroom. Three rolls of paper towels later and a couple pairs of rubber gloves in the trash. I took that garbage with me, threw it in a New York City garbage pail, and I got out of there alive.
Wow. But
it was tight. It was a tough one.
Let's see if we can divert because we've spent 21 minutes on the toilet.
Yeah, have you guys got any new tools recently?
A plunger.
Let's talk about the tool of the week because I bought something today, actually.
Did you tell us about it?
Do you know what a Hossfeld bender is? Do either of you know what a Hossfeld bender
sounds
is?
Familiar. I don't
sounds
know.
Sounds familiar.
So a Hossfeld bender is a metal bending tool for – it's like – they call it a universal bender. This old Tony has a great video on his
– does Andrew have one?
He's probably got like 10 of them.
I was just going to say, somebody just said something about one. I just heard that mentioned.
It might have been Andrew. So a Hossfeld bender it's a pretty simple tool. It's made out of 1/2-inch plate. It's got a bunch of holes in it, but they are made literally as like a universal bender. So you can buy dies to bend pretty much anything. Like they make dies so that you can take angle iron and roll it into a circle the hard way. So like with the straight branch getting bent as it goes. And you can make eye bolts on them. You can make coat hanger shapes on them. So you can bend round stock, square stock, tubing. And it's kind of like one of those revolutionary manufacturing tools where like they have old videos of like, you know, how do you bend metal? You wedge it between two tree trunks and you have five guys, you know, push the tubing over. So anyway, I've been looking for one because I kind of want – I don't have any real good way to bend, you know, tubing or bar. And every once in a while, a job comes up where I want to make like a hairpin leg or I want to make a custom latch. So I reached out to our good friend Chris Cash and I said, hey, you ever come across, you know, a Hossfeld bender? Let me know. So he knew I was on the lookout and he called me today and he goes, I found a Hossfeld bender for you. He goes with a whole box full of dies. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
That's great. So he sends me some pictures and he was actually going and picking up something else. And I wound up buying a Hossfeld bender with a bunch of dies. So I'm very excited for my new tool.
Nice.
That's cool.
This old Tony video that he did, he made a hook for like a planter for his wife out of all stainless. But yeah, Paul, you should look into it because from an operating perspective, you know, like you're not going to go out and buy special tooling to bend angle if somebody wants something bent, you know, like,
yeah.
But maybe a Hossfeld might be the kind of thing where if you got one at an auction or something with a nice set of, you know,
I'm sure it would come in handy.
Yeah. And it's very coincidental because I had Jeff Fader at my shop this morning picking something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had to pick up something that I made for him for this project that he's working on. I don't want to expose the surprise because it's something that he's doing with a person on Instagram. You got to follow Jeff Fader, Fader Knives, to see. But this morning we were talking about how he's always wanted to make a Hosfeld bender on the plasma CNC. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really want one. Like, it would be so great to have one. And then, like, about an hour later, Chris called me and said, hey, I'm at a shop, and he's got a Hosfeld bender with a ton of dies for sale. Do you want it? So it's just amazing how the universe works.
That's right. That's right.
Paul, what have you been picking up lately?
I don't know. I'm forgetting what I got. I thought I got something. I honestly can't remember because I talked about the coin. What's that?
You want to talk about the tool that you have coming, or you want to keep that under wraps for now?
Oh, let me wait till it gets here. So let me wait till it gets here.
It'll only take.
Yeah. Let me wait till I assemble it and I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Derek, we'll be talking about that soon.
I have not gotten any new tools. I've been behaving myself, and like I shared, I think, with you guys the other day, my buddy Brian, I kind of had a little bit of an intervention the other day when I was at Woodcraft. He came in to pick up some bandsaw blades, and I almost bought the vacuum again. And I was there, and he comes in. He's like, what the hell are you buying? He goes, get away from the vacuums, you know. I says, oh, geez, how'd you know? Isn't he? He goes, I seen your truck outside. He was picking up some bandsaw blades. But I haven't picked anything up. The only thing I got was when I was up at Jimmy's, I took one of his generators, and I have that, and I got to mess around with that a little bit to get it running right. But
what'd you get that for? Did you need it for like a project?
No, he just wanted it gone. I'm actually giving it to my brother. I have no use for the thing. I've been here 25 years. I think I've lost my power once. So my brother said he could use it, and he just wanted it gone. He's just been
a
lot of stuff. And he just wants the stuff gone, you know. It just get a lot of shit everywhere. But I tell you, I haven't been up to his place in a long time, and it just looks really, really nice. You know, he just got it cleaned up so nice and just things straightened up, and it was nice to be up there. I was only up there a short time, but yeah, no, I don't have anything new. I just not this week. It's just been a slow week, so nothing new for me.
So how was the kind of live version of the Makers Camp?
I didn't see too much of it. It was fun. I participated. They had one over in the UK. Habu had one, and Jimmy was doing it by default. I got involved with it, and Laura Camp was there and stuff, and Lucas and stuff. So that was fun, but it was pretty good. I stopped by there just to say hi to people, but I watched a couple of them, and it was pretty good. It was good that they had something just to kind of keep it alive and going, because it's just so many, you know, good people. There was a young kid there that I have his card somewhere, but he had some knives. I almost bought a knife from this kid. They were like between $400 and $700. This kid's 17 years old. You should see these knives he was making. They're unbelievable. He's on Instagram. His card's over on my bench. I'll have to find it and grab it. But it was just nice to see some people, and that people still care about it. You know, Jimmy was telling some things him and Austin were thinking of doing for next year. They had some ideas just to change things up with the classes and everything, which I think is going to be really good and help a lot of people out to make it so more people can go to the classes and, you know, and just kind of bounce back from 2020, you know. But, you know, it was nice to see a couple people, but that was it. So it was just a small gathering, you know. But that was my little gist of it.
That's cool, though. That's it's good to see that it worked out. I was wrapped up. I really wasn't able to catch anybody's live demos, but I just think it's great that we've got, you know, this attempt to keep these types of events going with the virtual and the live stuff. And, you know, I definitely think there's going to be more of that. You know, it's going to be more of, you know, kind of smaller gatherings of people where there should have been a big event. And then, you know, everything's kind of done on live, but it's nice because a lot of people get to participate. And also too, like, you know, a lot of these events, like last year's Maker Camp, nobody recorded any of their demos. You know, now all that stuff is saved. So if, you know, Bernie Solo's one, which I really wanted to watch, Mm-hmm. You know, I can go watch it now a couple of days later because I, you know, I wasn't able to watch it over the weekend. So I think that's great that that it kind of worked out considering the circumstances. Yeah. Did you go to the flea market on Sunday?
No. I came home Saturday. I literally I went up Friday night. I had to get home. I had a lot of work I had to do. So I didn't even want to really go. That's a lot of people like, oh, I thought you weren't going. And it's like I wasn't planning on it, you know. And it just went up there for that one thing, and that was it. And just basically came home. So that's that.
Yeah. So what have you guys been watching? Who have you been watching on TikTok, Paul?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Let me look at my TikTok. Let me see my
Well, I mean, you're a Harley guy now.
Dude, I am, and let me tell you something. I look good on that Harley.
How is it? How nice is it?
It's so cool.
It's an 883 or it's a 1200?
It's a 1200.
Nice.
Come on, dude. Who do you think you're dealing with here?
Guy's got 200 miles on his monkey.
Tough guy.
Dude, 350 on the monkey.
Yeah. Next year, it'll have 351 from you riding around.
Now, because I'm going to be only on the – what I do is –
Can we build a wheel of death out of steel in your shop?
Dude, and we should. We'll ride the monkey around in it. I'll do that. But it's so nice. Like it's just so fun. It really is the best.
When's your dad getting one? You guys can ride around together.
Dude, he already had one. Did I tell you guys the story? I think I might have told Derek about the story of how I found out he originally had a motorcycle, and he never told me, and he kept it secret. He's like not really the motorcycle type. I mean, I told you about the bike disaster, right? So you could imagine the motorcycle, you know, it doesn't go too well. But I never knew he had a motorcycle because my uncles had motorcycles, a bunch of motorcycles, and I never knew he had one. And me and him go to the same guy to get our hair cut.
It's in the blood.
And yeah, that's on my mom's side. All my mom's side isn't I'm like my mom's side, but. I went in to get a haircut and he had just gotten a haircut like the day before. And the guy was like, oh, I was just talking to your father about his motorcycle. And I'm like, he never had a motorcycle. He's like, yeah, he did. I'm like, no, my uncle's had motorcycles. He never had one. And he goes, well, that's not what he told me. And so as soon as I get out of the haircut, I'm like, did you have a motorcycle? And he started laughing and he goes, are you kidding me? He goes, that son of a bitch told you. But he had so my uncle, both my uncles actually, and him, I think went out. He rode like one of my uncle's wives, like Sportsters. Like he never knew how to ride a motorcycle and he just hopped on it. And he actually, I give him credit because he got on it without ever having ridden a motorcycle and drove from like where I am all the way up to Danbury, which is like 50 minutes away. I'm like, I don't even know how he survived. And they rode the motorcycle right into the Harley Davidson dealership in Danbury, which is where I got mine. And he ended up, and they just wheeled out like a Heritage Softail. This was like in the 90s before I was born. And they're like, oh, you got to buy it. You have to buy it. And I guess Derek, he, my dad told me back in the day it was like impossible to get a Harley. Was it hard to get them?
Yeah, you'd have to like wait and stuff. Yeah.
That's what he said. He said people would wait in lines around like the dealerships. Yeah. And so they just brought it out, I guess, and like, oh, you have to buy it. And he ended up buying it and he rode it like 5 times and just like wasn't into it and then sold it. But
yeah,
I don't know. Now you have no excuse. Now he's like, now I had to, you know. If he had one, why can't I get one?
Yeah,
it's true. But, my parents.
What's that?
No. Keep going, Paul.
Oh, but I'm like really. I know everyone says, "Oh, I'm safe. I'm safe." I am pretty safe, and like I'm looking up all this different safety gear. Like back in the day, like I'm like I asked him, like, "Did you wear a helmet? Did you wear anything?" He's like, "No, we just wore sunglasses and like a t-shirt."
Yeah,
it's like I'm looking right now. I'm serious. Like I'm looking at these vests that. When you fall off, there's like an airbag in it and it goes up and protects your neck and your back and everything. So you don't break your neck because it's like, you know, maybe it doesn't look as cool as if you just wear a t-shirt, but at least, you know, if I crash, I'll like, I saw a video. These things are so unbelievable. I saw a video of like a legit MotoGP race and they have all these airbags. Now the guy crashed at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
200 miles an hour. He crashed and he got up and he raced in the next race.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Like, that's how good these things are.
Yeah.
Like you would,
what's one of those cost?
it's like $1,000 for the jacket and the airbag vest, and it's got armor in the shoulders, the elbows, and the back, and it also has an airbag.
It's like a soft.
What's that?
It's like a soft stop. You know, it's like
it's worth it. I mean,
yeah.
So, and I only go, you know, around, like I said, my neighbor, I haven't even gone above like 40 on the thing. Maybe I hit like 45. I don't know. But it's fun though. It really is fun. It's so nice to be on like an actual motorcycle too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ridden the monkey since you got the?
Oh yeah. I've ridden it. I ride it like I just rode it like around the yard, honestly, but I got to take it back out. I can't abandon the monkey.
Nah. Can't do it. You got to. The monkey's got to stay in the rotation.
Yeah, I'll keep it in the rotation.
It's funny what you said about your dad. So I had there was a shower door fabricator that I used to work with, and I had never been to his shop. And he was, you know, we used to talk about how like we both bought machines from auctions. Oh, you got to come to my shop one day, blah, blah, blah. So I go to his shop and he's giving me the tour, and he did a lot of glass etching. So he had this huge sandblasting room and he's showing me around, and I'm like, oh, like, look at this. Like, you know, big bandsaw, this and this. And I'm like, oh man, whose Harley is that? And he's like, oh man, that's mine. And he's like showing it over to me. And then I went to high school with his kid. Mm-hmm. And I know some of his other kids, they're all about my age. And he like in a second realizes that I know his family, and his face completely changes. He goes, don't tell anybody about this. He's like, nobody knows that I have this. He's like, the kids don't know. My wife doesn't know. He's like, nobody can know.
Oh, my God.
He's like, Chris, you have to promise me. No one can know that I have this bike. And meanwhile, this thing was, like, crazy. It was, like, a West Coast Chopper style, like, long fork, orange flame. Like, it was, like – it was – honestly, it was, like, a real, like, white Long Islander bike. Like, it was, like, a real, like, I got to have this crazy motorcycle. You know, like, he couldn't just have a motorcycle. It had to be, like, you know, like a Ferrari-looking thing. And it probably had, like, 100 miles on it.
Yeah.
But, you know – I'm looking at it and I'm like, Mark, I'm like, if anybody even comes into this building, whose motorcycle are you going to tell them that this is? Like,
yeah,
you
know, right?
Everything is like shining brand new. And when you used to ride it around, you'd wear one of those little, like the tiny little skull caps and pair of sunglasses.
That's
nothing. And I'm like, so I saw him once riding and I'm like, what does this guy think he's doing? You could see exactly who it is, you know, but it was just so funny. The idea of hiding the owning of a motorcycle from your whole family.
I think I told you this last time, one of my friends growing up, he lived like the next street over from me, but there was a little street that connected our streets, and he parked his motorcycle there, and he had it for years, and his family never knew he had a motorcycle.
That's crazy. What like, the hell did they think he did? Rode a bicycle around?
This kid.
What are you telling me he was going?
Well, no, he used to do. This kid's crazy. I mean, I lived right outside of Boston. Like, you could walk to Boston in 10 minutes. And he used to skateboard everywhere. So he had a skateboard into the city. He would just take his motorcycle.
Hmm.
So crazy. And we had a bunch of bikers that lived, like, on the corner of our street. It was so cool. I remember they would like at the end of like this time of year, they'd take their bikes and they'd lower them into the basement. It had like a bulkhead and they would strip them down, repaint them. These bikes were so badass. I remember one year the guy brings it in and he brought it out in the springtime and it had the suicide shifter on the tank and everything, the foot clutch. And it was like, it was just so cool. It was like a 55 panhead or something. It was just
that's so cool.
Yeah, these guys were so nuts, man. They're like, I don't know if they're like part of the Hell's Angels or whatever when I was younger, but it was just, they're all bikers. It was like three houses of bikers and just nice guys though. And it's funny, one of them, one of my brothers is still somewhat friendly with them, but he had inherited all this property in a real in Lexington, Mass. I don't know if Chris, if you remember Lexington, just a real very, you know, rich neighborhood, and guy's like a bazillionaire now, but he's just a biker dude, and it was just cool to see, you know, just the stuff they would make, the paint jobs and everything, and it was just really neat, you know. But
yeah, I love the idea of customizing motorcycles and working on them.
When are you getting another one?
Maybe the spring, we'll see what happens.
Which one would you get if you were to get one?
I'm old, Paul. I'm not a young buck like you.
No. I know. Would you get like the Street Glide or something? I'm a biker. Now I know all the different models.
Yeah, I would probably like get a Street Glide, something like
those that. Are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like the way those look. Yeah. They're pretty nice looking.
Like I told you, the sportier bikes are really fun until you go on a road trip with your friends.
Yeah, you can't go on a road trip.
Suitcases into the hotel, and they're listening to the stereo while you're just, you know. I mean, now
you're getting blown off the bike because it's 80 miles an hour, and you can't even hang on. Yeah. But also the gas tanks too, right?
Yeah.
Like
that's a pain in the ass when you ride with a bunch of people and somebody's got a Sportster. It's like every 45 minutes they're pulling into a gas station. You
can
300 miles, you know.
Like the one I have has the it's called the peanut tank or something. Yeah. Has that. Yeah. It's the smallest tank just for style. Like it looks really cool. It looks like a old school, I don't know. I guess isn't that what they use on choppers? Like Matt, Chris, they use
you got to use a small tank because the tank isn't like a feature. It's just like a thing, you know? You know, you go 14 feet and then you're like, oh, I'm out of gas again.
Yeah.
But it's got it only holds 2 gallons of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's if you had that and you got someone with a 6 gallon tank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the fuel injected bikes now, they don't have reserve tanks. So
it's
a nightmare. We one time were riding from DC and you're coming up 95 and it's next, you know, service plaza, 35 miles. So my brother, he had a Road King and he's like, oh, I can make it to the next one. I can make it to the next one. So we're going. He runs out of gas. His bike was 3 months old. We end up taking out all his clothes out of his bags, laying on the breakdown lane and laying his motorcycle down on the ground and tipping it sideways so the gas would go from one side to the other and so he could get there. He literally makes it. It stalls, pulling into the rest area. So we're coming out of there. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're coming out of there. We're a mile out of the rest area. He gets a freaking nail in his tire. He gets a tire. And he has laced wheels, which for those who don't know are spokes. And you can't plug a spoke tire. So he's got nothing. And we were a half mile past him. We turned our bikes around in the breakdown lane and was riding against traffic 95. Fucking instant.
Yeah, to try to get off.
State trooper, man, boom, pulls us over. He ended up being such a nice guy, though. His buddy owned a U-Haul place, took my brother there. They were closed, and they got him a U-Haul truck so he could trailer his truck home, his bike home. He threw it in the back of a U-Haul. Just a fucking nightmare.
That's a nice guy.
yeah. Every year we would go down to D.C. from Boston for Rolling Thunder. It was a 10-hour ride on the bike, and it would rain every year. The last year I went, I trailered it, and it was beautiful out the whole time. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's I was speaking to Derek earlier today. So someone had to come to my shop today to deal with a freight delivery for something that I did. And anyway, the kid was not sent with any information, but this person I was dealing with said, oh, don't worry. Someone's going to come out tomorrow and deal with this freight delivery. And you know, doesn't matter what time the freight truck comes because, you know, they'll be waiting in their car. So today, this morning at 8 a.m., I go to my shop to meet up with Jeff Fader, and I see someone pull up on a Triumph. Meanwhile, it's pouring. And I'm like, tell me this isn't the kid that's supposed to be waiting for the freight truck. Kid hops off the bike. He's like, hey, are you Chris? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm here to wait for the freight delivery. I'm like, well, what time's the freight truck coming? He goes, oh, they said 8 a.m. So I'm like, oh, okay. So 8 o'clock comes and goes. Now it's 9 o'clock. I call the freight company. I go, hey, what time are you going to be here? He's like, I don't know, 2 hours. The guy shows up at 1:30. So I let the kid hang out in my shop because, you know, what was I going to do? Make him sit outside
in the rain? Yeah.
And then after it was all done, he had just gotten dry. He had to just get back on his motorcycle and ride back to Queens. It was 36 miles, he said, in the pouring rain on his carbureted Triumph, which is not easy to ride in the rain on because the carburetor will suck in moisture and it'll putter out.
Yeah. That's crazy. But
yeah.
My dog,
Steve Pellegrino, just actually bought a bike today.
Really? Oh, what'd he buy?
Like an old Honda. And he was saying, oh, we all got to ride together. Paul's got one. I'm like,
That'd be funny.
my doctor, he was old and he still rode his BMW every day, all winter. As long as it didn't snow up, rode his motorcycle to work every day. Yeah, he was hardcore. Those BMW guys, they're hardcore.
Oh, yeah, those adventure bike things.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't know what
candy out of a wrapper.
Jeff's gonna kill you.
That's me eating candy.
Wow, that was so loud. That was weird.
Was it?
Yeah, I was just collapsing.
It sounded like water running or something.
Well, we started this conversation asking Paul. Paul, what have you been watching? Give me something. Oh, we're gonna wrap this up.
I don't even know. I don't know. I've been. I haven't been. And I obviously always talk about the Pasta Queen, but now my girl made it on TV. She doesn't have her own show, but she was on another show, and I think she's probably gonna end up with her own show.
Hmm. The Pasta Queen.
She was on. What's that girl? That actress, Drew Barrymore or something, has her own cooking show. And my mom called me. She's like, "I'm watching the Pasta Queen right now. She's on this cooking show."
Really?
Yeah, I made some of her things though. They're really good.
Drew Barrymore and the Pasta Queen.
Yeah,
that's
the Pasta
Queen. Pick of the week.
Yeah.
Why
I didn't
is
watch
Drew Barrymore wearing a tiara in this.
I don't even know really who that is. All I know is she was in E.T., right?
Oh, my God.
Is she?
So young. Paul, do you
Yeah, dude, I'm 20 years old.
I know. Do you know who Eddie Van Halen was, the guy that just...
Yeah, I know that. I know. All I listen to is old music.
No, but it's just funny. I never thought of that. They were talking about that on the radio. They're like, a lot of
people
don't even know who he was. And I was like, really? I love
him. Yeah. The music I know. I don't know all the old like actors and actresses, though.
Great pick. Great pick.
Yeah, Pasta Queen.
Mm-hmm.
All I watch is like the same. All I do is listen to like podcasts and stuff, like all these like comedy podcasts. I don't really watch a lot of new YouTube videos. I need to start doing that.
Mm. Yeah, especially if you're going to recommend one. But,
yeah, I don't have anything to
recommend. Derek, what have you been watching? You always have a good one.
No, I want to recommend.
Yeah, Derek always has good people.
This guy, he's kind of a regular. It's Wesley Treat. I just watched one of his videos, and his videos are just really good. But I started watching him. I didn't realize like he was a friend of the community until I met him. Was it last year at Maker Camp? But I just like came across his channel, and I just love the signs he makes, and just he uses some like really really cool techniques to make things, and. He's not like one of those guys that just goes out and wastes money on a tool to make something. Like he'll figure out a way to.
Hey, wait a second! Are you talking? Whoa!
I'm jealous that can't be like that. You know, like I bitch about my wife being like she's got to have a thing for everything, and like he just makes stuff that he needs and stuff like that, or just adapts things to work. But he was making a spider lamp for Halloween, and it came out really cool, and. That's my pick. But he has a lot of great videos. Some of his older videos where he's made signs for like motels and stuff. And it was just funny because right before Maker Camp last year is when I first discovered him and, you know, got to meet him and get to know him and stuff like that. He's a good guy too. But that's my pick, Wesley Treat.
Yeah, I met Wesley at a Maker Fair, the first Maker Fair that I ever went to.
Yeah,
he's a super nice guy, really talented. He does a lot of like really cool work.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys that just gets that work, like just that specialty like restaurant stuff, and just really a cool like little niche market. But it's I don't know, where is he from? Like Texas or something? He's like from far
away. Yeah, somewhere
away.
In Texas.
He drove all the way up here. I remember that. Which is crazy. But,
really?
Yeah. And he came last time. So.
Yeah, Wesley's a good dude.
What's that noise I'm hearing?
Very talented guy. What noise?
I hear noise too.
I thought Fado
I don't know.
Was nuts, but
maybe it's the rain. It's raining here pretty hard.
All right. Fado will give us a pass on that one.
All right. But my pick is I spent essentially the entire day today while I was working and doing emails, watching videos on these metal benders, different types of metal benders, what they do, tubing benders and Hosfeld metal benders. And it's just, to me, it's super interesting because if, you know, everyone should go and look up what a Hosfeld bender looks like. Honestly, it's like the most confusing tool I've ever seen. Like it's like two, like looks like tuning forks with a bunch of holes drilled in them. And what I got was,
I know what that is.
I got like a box of
Eastwood makes one, right?
Yeah, and like Harbor Freight sells one too.
Universal bender. Those are like shitty ones, probably.
Yeah, and like, but they're if I just handed you the parts.
You don't know what the hell to do. I tried looking at them on the Eastwood one just because I wanted to buy it. It was like $100. I'm like, where does the metal even go? Like,
exactly.
I don't know what to do with it.
Exactly. And the Hosfeld one, there's a book that you can get that has all the setups in it. So like it literally, it's like a glossary. It says like, all right, you're bending square bar and you want to bend it into a 90. So there's like the setup and you need die number this and you need this and this. And I've been watching all these videos of people doing like I was just the last video that I watched was a woman bending probably like 1/8 by 2 inch flat stock the hard way.
Oh, wow.
And there's like a special setup for that, you know,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And the craziest thing is the video of the guy making the ring out of angle with the flange out. Now, I'll put that the link to that in the show notes on this just because it's the kind of thing where like I don't really know what I would use to do it if I didn't know that I could do it with a Hosfeld bender. You know, like if somebody asked me to make that part, I don't know what I would do. Honestly, I'd probably like plasma cut the ring and then weld, you know, a piece of vertical channel to it or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, Paul, if I asked you to make me a 12-inch diameter ring out of angle the hard way, with the flange sticking out, like what would you use? You know, you would just heat it up and try to make it round.
I think whatchamacallit, tubing rollers have dies for angle.
Yes. And you could buy dies for that.
Yeah. Like an $8,000 tubing roller.
Exactly. So you now, yeah, if you know, the more expensive your tubing roll, the more expensive the dies. And not to say that the dies for this bender are cheap, but I don't know. It's just it's an interesting thing, and I feel like once you know, it's like another kind of like arrow to have, where it's like if a job comes up and I need to make a custom eye bolt, I've got a way to make an eye bolt out of 3/4-inch round stock, and then I can thread the end and make you know like a mega eye bolt in my shop without having to use a forge and try to heat up and bend stuff over because that, you know, you can't always do that. So
now that you've added another tool, what tool is getting removed?
Well, I sold a Bridgeport. Nice. I sold the Hartford
nice.
That you and I bought together. That's gone. What else? That's probably the only thing I've gotten rid of lately.
That's a big one. I'll give you a
that's
pass.
A big one. That's a big one. And I think I have a buyer for the Bridgeport that I bought in Ohio, which is unfortunate. I really want to – I don't know. I really want to figure out a way that I can
sell the little
it.
Ones and keep the that nice Bridgeport and keep the – you bought a new one, right? That what is it?
The Jet.
The Jet. Keep the Jet and keep that one and get rid of the other two. Just have two nice mills.
That's
I'm
what
telling
I'm thinking.
You. You're going to be much happier looking at a nice Bridgeport, like two nice Bridgeports than – you know, the Beijing 3000 over there.
Well, the other small Jet I have.
Hey, I have the Beijing
1300,
and they're fine.
Which Beijing do you – which I got the Shanghai 7000 from China.
I've got to do that like little bit of reorganizing. The nice thing about the Hosfeld bender, though, is that it's not like a big tool. Like it's the kind of thing where like a lot of shops you hang it on the wall and then you go to the table when you need it. So
that's a good tool to have. I actually want to get one now.
It's really cool.
What'd you say, Derek?
Watching a video on it right now, bending the angle.
Yeah,
that's
really,
cool.
Really cool. It's and like I said, when Chris sent me the photo of all the parts laying on the ground, I was like, I have no idea. You know, like it's you don't. I'm not even going to know what half the tooling is. I'm going to need Matt or somebody to come and be like, oh, this is the follower for this material. So I'm going to buy the book. From Hosfeld. What's cool is that Hosfeld's still in business. So today, when Chris sent me the photos of the bender, there are two different size benders, and I wasn't sure which one it was. And I just called them right up and I said, hey, listen, I'm about to buy one of your machines used, and I just need a little help identifying it. And the guy goes, oh, well, you know, measure this. If this pin is 1 inch, then that's the one you want. If it's not 1 inch, I wouldn't buy it. You know, I was like, oh, it's not like some of these other old tools that we get where it's like the company's been out of business for 40 years and good luck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I think that about does it for this episode. We are going to do another giveaway at some point, at some time. In about 3 months from now, Paul's going to be giving away the monkey.
But we're
going to do another giveaway, and hopefully sometime soon, Paul, Derek, and I will actually all be in the same room, and maybe we'll do like a live episode or something on Instagram. I think it would be kind of cool if we did a live episode.
And then some guests.
Yes. And I have been talking to some people about coming in as guests. So I feel like we've made it to episode 15. I think at this point we can bring in some guests.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're here. The Makery Network, shout out to the Makery Network. Listen to everybody else's episodes of everybody else's podcast. I was particularly interested in the Alex Pohl episode on Jeff Fader's Full Blast podcast. I don't know if you guys listened to it, but we all met Alex in England. He runs a business called The Forge. They are a blacksmithing company. He makes beautiful cookware, and he had a very interesting backstory. And, you know, he's the kind of person that, like, I don't know how I would ever have learned any of this stuff about him, because I'll probably maybe see him one more time again in my life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, listen to all the other podcasts. Be careful on your motorcycles. Mm-hmm. I'm Chris Zepp from Make Everything.
I'm Derek from Malden, and y'all?
Nope.
He's not doing it.
He's not taking the bait. I love it.
He's not taking the bait. Nope. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I'll do it again.
Thank you.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.